Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber. Futures are a bit soft as earnings are mixed from a handful of very big players, 3M, McDonald's, Pfizer, Raytheon. The GOP proposal is out. Two-day Fed meeting begins. Bernstein cuts Tesla to sell. Watch gold, as they were just saying, hit 2K overnight, but has settled back. Jim, we do have some earnings to chew on, but there's still a lot on deck for later in the week.
Yeah, look, I think that many people want to be able to say we've seen the bottom. You're going to hear from Mike Roman later on today. July's been very good. I think that you're going to continue to get a positive from housing. This Horton number was the number that people should be focused on because it was just stellar. You're going to get a lot of people talking about how there is a lot of good news in anything involving personal fun. Let's like Polaris, but just we're just in such dim tidings when it comes to aerospace. And that's what I'm focused on. I think the Raytheon quarter was good.
Yeah, you were just...
Oh, Greg Hayes, 2023. Oh, my.
Yeah, you were just talking about that. And then IATA, the International Air Transport Association, is saying 2024 pre-COVID traffic levels.
Well,
they also point out that airlines are adding capacity, Jim, ahead of demand, which is coming back slower than they thought.
Right. Look, personal travel. People want to travel. We know that. Great conference call by American Express on Friday about what people want to do. But the business traveler is where they make all the money. And the business traveler is Zooming. They just aren't going. And I don't know what it's going to take to bring them back. And that is going to be a very important theme. Tomorrow's Boeing. This was a great industry for America. I mean, it was probably what we were leading in. And now, without customers, it's really difficult. What, Citi puts a tactical sell on American Airlines with an $11 price target? Guys, it is 11. I don't know. Citi is kind of a funny piece. But you can see, for instance, Shopify, Goldman Sachs does a piece. The amount of e-commerce and what it's done to brick and mortar. David, we are seeing a wholesale shift, not just digitization, but the way people lead their lives and the way business, when do we get to the fall when you talk about college? None of these patterns, it can be, you can't shoehorn in the way we look at stocks. They just don't add up.
No, I mean, we've said in any number of industries, things that might have taken years have been accelerated to a period of months in terms of transformation. But to the extent that, Jim, it's also, as you said, things that we're really unsure exactly how they're going to look when they come back, like work, where we're still sort of wondering what the modern workplace is going to look like and how many people are actually going to be there and what impact that's going to have. But yeah, I think it seems more and more likely we may look back at this period as having been a seminal change in behavior to a certain extent. And the points you've been making since early on, that's going to result in certain companies doing particularly well and quite a few others suffering.
Right. Look, I had Skyworks Solutions on last night. Liam Griffin, he's a very smart man. They had an amazing quarter. They are probably, if you want to play 5G, the best way. And he's talking about how everything is just going to be crystal clear. You can get it wherever you want. It's going to be great. You'll be at the beach. And I kept thinking about Zoom and what Zoom is going to. Of course, there's WebEx and there's we got Teams from Microsoft. But Zoom may make it so that someone could say, who's a CFO, I see you traveled. I see you traveled first class to a conference. I don't want that ever again because we're making too much money. I want you to Zoom it. And we can do everything we can. I hope we don't have to Zoom baseball. I mean, given COVID, but I do feel that Zoom has wrecked one of the great backbones of America, which is going from here to there for business people. Carl, it's never going to be the same.
Ever. We know. And stopping for breakfast on your way is a big piece of that. We're watching McDonald's, where breakfast is obviously in focus. U.S. comps down 8.7 was a little bit better than we thought. June down 2.3. Improving every month of the quarter, Jim. And they are going to make a big push in the second half. It's pretty clear.
I thought I didn't understand why that stock was down, because I think that what matters is in the end, they had a number that's that in many ways was better than Chipotle at the end of the quarter. And they're doing big drive through and it's not really hurting them that much that they have they've taken out some tables. That was a decent quarter. Look, 3M was a decent quarter because July was good. But everybody is just skeptical because you just keep thinking, wait a second, it's too good to be true. Everything seems too good to be true, given the fact what we know. And then you had I had Leader McCarthy on last night, and they're talking about doing a package. There's going to be a package. And the package keeps the ball near the air until the vaccines. And I think a lot of us are beginning to think, wait a second, the vaccines – can we get a little more skeptical? How does Moderna, some really nice insider sales there last night, according to Stat. How does Moderna say, hey, October? I mean, how do you get 30,000 people and figure out whether the placebo didn't do better than the real? I mean, and have it by election? By the election? Can we be a little more skeptical about what's going on with vaccines? Please.
Okay, I'll be more skeptical. I think a lot of people, though, Jim, are still focused on next year as a realistic time frame in terms of vaccines being widely available, don't you?
Yes, I agree.
I mean, maybe we'll get to some point where manufacturing begins on even what might be an FDA-approved vaccine by the end of the year. But to really be able to administer the doses that are going to be needed across the board. And there's so many other things. I mean, by the way, transporting vaccines is apparently not as easy as it might appear in some ways. You've got this anti-vaxxer movement in this country. So you do wonder how many people will refuse to take a vaccine. There are people who are going to be concerned that it has been rushed in some way for political reasons. And so perhaps may not deem it as safe as otherwise would be. So there are going to be plenty of things surrounding it, but man, do we need it as soon as possible.
Right. And Carl, a really stirring interview by Andrew Ross Sorkin with Bill Gates, where he basically just says testing's a joke, that if we find out so late that you can't do anything anyway. So he portrayed a country I felt in disarray when it comes to this. I still keep thinking about the Miami Marlins. They come to Philadelphia from a state that's a hot spot. 11 of them have COVID. I mean, and the Phillies will wait a couple days and then they're fine. I mean, are you kidding me? If you were next to someone who had COVID, you don't wait a couple days and come back. So, I mean, Major League Baseball, any of the commissioners just saying, hey, don't worry about it. Everyone's got this don't worry about it attitude. I'm worried about it because the July recovery is fragile, Carl.
Yeah. Well, Manfred did say it was not a nightmare scenario yet. There are certain levels at which MLB would start to get very concerned about the longevity of the season. I think we have some sound of what Manfred said.
We talked about the situation. I think most of the owners realize that we built protocols anticipating that we would have positive tests at some point during the season, that the protocols were built in order to allow us to continue to play through those positives. And I think there was support for the notion that we believe that the protocols are adequate to keep our players safe. I don't put this in the nightmare category. I mean, obviously, we don't want any player to get exposed. It's not a positive thing, but I don't see it as a nightmare. We built the protocols to allow us to continue to play. That's why we have the expanded rosters. That's why we have the pool of additional players. And we think we can keep people safe and continue to play.
David, it does raise the question. Yeah. If this is happening in a few dozen clubhouses, and if testing is as troubled as Gates said this morning on Squawk, I mean, what does that mean for school reopenings? Is that why Google says July for returning to the office?
Yeah. That's a great question, Carl. And I think it's a key one that we're all, that many of us, certainly parents who have either college age or any age kids in school are wondering about. What's a college dorm going to look like if this is the case there? And again, back to testing, if testing is an important part of your overall protocol, are you going to be able to get results quickly enough to take people who need to be quarantined in some fashion and continue, not to mention how teachers are going to feel about all that if, in fact, we do see outbreaks, or parents. So many uncertainties, so difficult to plan for at this point, it would seem. But baseball does become, in a sense, a reflection of a lot of those fears, which is one reason why we're watching it closely, not just because, of course, we're baseball fans. By the way, guys, I did tweet this morning. It is worth mentioning, of course, on our continued focus on special purpose acquisition corporations. Billy Beane, the noted general manager for many years, of course, of the Oakland Athletics, featured in Moneyball, did start a SPAC with Jerry Cardinale. It's being underwritten by Goldman Sachs, $500 million, and it is going to target businesses that are specific to, well, as you might imagine, sports and data areas, although not necessarily because they can't say ahead of time what they're exactly going to go after. But I did think that was interesting. So Mr. Beane, if he does have some time on his hands, will certainly be able to focus on his SPAC.
But I think that that could be something. It would be a very, look, DraftKings is a love thing. The Robinhood crowd will just completely adore that. Robinhood crowd reeling from Tony Sacconaghi's sell of Tesla, just to 500,000 people in Robinhood own Tesla, and I don't know how they're going to handle it. To go back to the college situation, I just cannot believe they're – David, have you looked at how many different schools have many different rules? And the schools are all, yeah. I mean, I think that your kid has to be looking at what the rules are at some schools versus others, because some schools are just basically not taking this thing seriously at all. And other schools, you're out with a couple of tests.
It's all over the place, though, in terms of the reopening protocols as well. Many schools are doing only freshmen and seniors on campus. Many schools are doing remote, but people will be allowed on campus, but they'll be in their dorms in some fashion. Some are bringing everybody back. Others are starting early and ending early. There's no one size fits all approach, or there's no one approach here that we can talk about, Jim. But we focus on it not just because it's a personal concern, but also because this has a huge impact on the overall economy. When you think about towns and cities that are relying on students returning and so many of the businesses that rely on them as well, it's yet another important component of the overall economic picture that may not be able to come back to full robust capacity because of the virus.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Carl, one of the things that I'm watching watching closely, obviously, I had Leader McCarthy on yesterday. He's talking about $200 extra for unemployment, and obviously Speaker Pelosi wants $600. But that's going to be the key number, because we have the $1,200, we give that to people, and we get, say, $400 in unemployment. It keeps the ball in the air. And that's what has to happen, because the stuff that we're seeing in the papers about all the different protocols and have no idea what's happening and kind of just it's just a menagerie. I mean, we have no idea what's happening. And I feel like we still haven't beaten this thing at all. Other countries, Sweden, I mentioned, was having a problem. Sweden's back to having very few people. Obviously, Asia better than we are. But I just don't even I think it's going to be a free for all in September. At least we'll have some money in our pockets, but it's going to be a free-for-all. And that is not inspiring for the companies like 3M that are saying, hey, listen, July's gotten better.
Right. Goldman is out this morning. They say, we do believe Congress will enact a package larger than what the Republicans have proposed. Despite the late start, the odds are high we'll get it before the August recess. Although McConnell, guys, as you know, is facing resistance not just from within Senate Republicans themselves, but from Pelosi, who talked about this proposal last night.
If they're not even getting to the fundamentals of food and rent and economic survival, they're not really ready to have a serious negotiation. However, we'll continue. We'll read what they put forth.
Well, I don't know.
Right, Jim's sort of an echo of what she told you the other night.
Yeah, I mean, Leader McCarthy said they care more about cannabis than they care about things like food. And I don't think that's true. I think that there's actually more common ground. I think Leader McCarthy and Secretary Mnuchin are Republicans that want to get a deal done. And it's a pleasure to see. I was blasted on Twitter for talking about how it would be great to see consensus. I mean, are we really that bad a country that if someone wants consensus, that person is now an outlier? And that's what you need to be able to get the money in people's pocket. because we're listening to a lot of companies. Like, we'll have amazing by Phil LeBeau has David Calhoun tomorrow. We're going to have to listen to David Calhoun talk about, I don't know, does he have to lay off more people because the orders are not that good? I mean, I think that we have Tony Saganegi on halftime today. Tesla's been one of the brightest stars of this market. All I'm saying is that this is one difficult week, and we're going to have to start lowering expectations about how this country is going to come out of this within the next 3 months, because I just don't see it a magic wand waving from here to the election. David, you know that that it's a flashpoint. Moderna's become absolutely the football of this election. They're going to give you October. Really? Really? Or is it how much insider selling they can do between now? Let's see, you got a monthly plan. You can do. I'm sorry to be so hard clearly on those promotional guys.
No, that's all right. You're not a believer, but you've pointed out many times they're very promotional. By the way, in terms of vaccines, we certainly also want to, Carl, focus on Pfizer's earnings, which I know we'll get to as well a bit more after the break. And a lot of CEOs coming up as well, as you well know, including 3M and Reckitt Benckiser.
We'll talk to both of them in the next couple hours, guys. In the meantime, we'll cover a bunch of the earnings we've not yet gotten to. Harley, obviously, Raytheon, Horton, as Jim said, Pfizer. As we said also earlier, Tesla downgraded Bernstein to sell. Goldman's up Shopify. We're back in a minute.
Minutes to go before we get an opening bell on this Tuesday. Apple is the focus of today's Mad Dash. Jim.
There's an excellent piece by Deutsche Bank today that I think encapsulates a lot of my thinking, which is that stocks have run up so much that it makes it difficult, or you should be nervous, and that word nervous is actually mentioned in the piece with an underline by Deutsche Bank, of how high a bar it is going into this quarter. Apple talking about some delays. I know that when I had Skyworks Solutions on last night, it's not clear when a 5G, they can't mention Apple's name, by the way, but not clear when Apple will have a 5G, but you might have one of these situations where you have the 12, but maybe we want to wait for the 5G. It is a piece that tells me that stocks have come so far, David, that unless things are perfect, the stocks are going to go down. And you know, we have a Thursday night where we have Apple and we have Facebook and we have Google and we have Amazon. It's just going to be a jumble. A lot of people are going to make some wrong moves. They're going to sell things maybe they shouldn't, maybe buy things they shouldn't. But I am wary of Apple, and I like Apple. I always say, own it, don't trade it. But this Deutsche Bank piece does confirm a lot of what I'm worried about, which is that it's pure multiple expansion, David, that's driven the stock. And we know multiple expansion drove stocks in 1999. I don't think they're the same. I don't like the comparison, but the piece is a noteworthy piece.
Interesting. You've made a similar point on Microsoft, again, the second largest market cap out there.
I was right. Yeah, they reported a great number. People suddenly found things they didn't like. Obviously, there's Azure minor slowdown, say 52 to 50, and we got to find out whether that is Thomas Curry and at Google Cloud picking up some share, or whether it's just Amazon Web Services just rolling over everybody as it continues to have done. But I think we have to be aware, and I think people are just coming into the market, in which there are many, that it's entirely possible that a company could report a very good quarter and a stock can still go down. That's not what they're used to. There are a lot of people who have come in who believe that stocks only go up. As someone who's watched the market for a long time, David, is that true?
No, that has not been my experience. There is a period of time when that, in fact, is not the case. And often there's a lot of pain associated with those periods of time.
We just want people to be aware. We're not looking for the market to go down. We don't want it to go down. But it has at times gone down. Worth noting for the people who just got in since May and haven't even had a couple of back-to-back days of down.
No, it is absolutely worth noting. And it's certainly a highly unusual time in so many ways. We're going to take a quick break. Of course, don't forget, we are going to be joined by the CEO of Reckitt Benckiser a bit later, actually, about 20 minutes or so from now, maker of Lysol, Mucinex, many other consumer products. We'll get a check-in from him when Squawk on the Street comes right back.
I'm enthused about all the vaccines that the U.S. has funded. There's the first wave, which is about five. And then there's a second wave, which are cheaper, could be more effective, but they have to wait because they didn't get get done as quickly. So you're just going to hear, you know, various phase threes will start. You know, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is a particularly good low-cost vaccine. The AstraZeneca's and Moderna are two of the first to get out there.
It's Bill Gates on a vaccine earlier this morning on Squawk, Jim, and he mentions J&J, which did launch trials in the U.S., and now we have Pfizer and BioNTech choosing their candidate.
Yeah, interesting that Pfizer did not pick the COVID-19 vaccine that they had talked about before. It's a large study of a virus candidate, I'm reading from Stat, aimed at securing approvals, but it's not the one for which we were released earlier this month. I thought that was curious. J&J giving no timeline, which I think is a lot better, because remember, you have to send people, they have to go forth, and some are going to get COVID and some are not. And we have to make sure that there are enough instances of contact that we don't decide, hey, the placebo is doing better than the vaccine. So I do think that's why I you don't want to shotgun this. You really have to be like J&J and lower the expectations. There's an Atlantic piece this morning which just says we've got to stop thinking that the vaccine's the be-all and end-all. And I do feel that that's what's happened in the stock market in particular. I think Pfizer knows how to bring a drug. They know how to do their total pros. They are not promotional. I like what they said. I think that Bill Gates is absolutely right that the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine is very good. A lot of good opportunities here, but I just don't want everyone to get ahead of themselves. And David, you know, the reason I'm doing that is that I just feel like that the political climate, there are a lot of people who feel that this must happen now. I want the best vaccine, not the fastest vaccine.
Of course, and the most effective vaccine, without a doubt. But to your point, Jim, I mean, I've made this point many times. There are antivirals out there. You know, we talk a lot about remdesivir, but you really don't want to be in a position where you've got to get remdesivir, because typically you're going to be in the hospital.
Right.
It's going to be infused. But there are antivirals. I've been following one closely that's been licensed by Merck, EIDD-2801, that are moving forward through phase two trials that could really change the trajectory of the virus.
And have
so
a,
we
but
do
Lilly
need to keep
antibodies,
that in mind.
Lilly antibodies?
Yes.
This is another way. We have not
yes.
heard from Regeneron, which I now regard as rather strange. But you're right. I mean, Merck is this Friday. Those are hopeful for me. See, I want a spray that you can take it. I want to make it so that it's less likely. There's too many people I follow on Twitter who say, hey, listen, it's just a problem for people who are 55. I mean, like, well, we're supposed to just triage a couple generations and just say, you know, that's fine. What, you know, what is this, Logan's Run?
Yeah, I know.
It's like Logan's Run.
I know.
Google
two,
it, people. Logan's
two-thirds
Run.
Of our
that's
show.
What you're saying.
Two-thirds of our show would get taken out here. Come on. That's no good. I mean, I don't think even Carl wants to be alone. So, yeah, there's the opening bell, Carl. I'll let you take it away. Do want to get to talking about those
if
Pfizer
you guys
numbers
leave me,
as well.
Yeah, if you guys leave me, I'm out of here. I'll tell you that. There's the opening bell, Brett filling in. Jim, I mean, overnight the president did retweet a post that argued hydroxychloroquine was being suppressed to keep deaths high in this country so that the economy could be shut down ahead of the election. I mean, does that shake your faith in whatever news we get out of any agency?
Hydroxychloroquine, that's a story that won't die. And hydroxychloroquine, look, I mean, we know that there was a couple of studies that were good. There have been articles which say, look, there's just an exaggeration about what happens in terms of heart problems for the people who take lupus. I just don't believe that it's in anybody's interest to have more people die. If there's a medicine that works, there's a Hippocratic, not hypocritical oath. I just think that, I don't know. I mean, I know that the science, the New England Journal of Medicine, has completely let us down. They had some article about some guys saying, listen, don't wear a mask. Then they added an addendum which says, hey, we didn't say don't wear a mask. We said you got to wear a mask. I mean, the science has been bad. The stuff out of China has been bad. I mean, everything. There has been a not straight story about anything yet. And I come back and say, we just know very little about what works and what doesn't. And it's July, and it's a little embarrassing what Bill Gates said about the meaninglessness of the tests. How about that? How about we have companies like Quest and LabCorp. They can't get any they're overwhelmed. We are overwhelmed in fighting this thing. And what do we get? We get Kodak getting a big contract to make pills.
We're going to talk about that. Jim, we're going to talk about that in a minute, but let's stay on this topic. I mean, 3M, we're going to be talking to Mike Roman. They are talking about a new rapid test with MIT. I want to find out more about that. We did notice Pfizer, of course, guys, is up this morning. I mean, it's so interesting, the new world that Jim has been talking about. There's Mike Roman, of course, the next hour. This new world of Zoom. I mean, there are no pharmaceutical salesmen in the U.S. who are able to meet with doctors. And that's been the case for some time. Most international markets, Pfizer says, are able to meet with healthcare professionals for most of the quarter. But in the U.S., unable to meet in person with doctors for nearly all of the quarter. No U.S. Salesforce colleagues meeting in person with healthcare professionals. Yet they're still selling, but perhaps not as much as they might have thought, given you can't get in your car and drive to a doctor's office if you're selling prescription drugs.
I was shocked. My wife was a salesperson for Medisys for years. Yeah, Jonah Shachna. Remember him? And she sold dermatology products. And one of the things that I learned is it's one of those businesses, not timeshares, but it's like it. It doesn't move unless it's sold. And you are so right, David. It is very difficult to sell products, particularly for elective products, elective surgery. I have Centene on tonight. It's just down, 40% elective surgery. So I think that there is much to talk about here about how, again, industries have changed. Salespeople have found themselves in every profession using Zoom, and it's just not a great way to do business. Carl, you need Estee Lauder because of the problem of the breakout with the mask, right? First, you got the breakout with the mask, and then you got the really ugly kind of thing you got with Zoom. I mean, in the end, who wants to do business with you? You look like a freak show.
This is an This is an extension of your Ulta salon thesis from the pre-COVID era, Jim. You still got to look good, especially now on camera.
Oh, man, I'm scrubbing
by
and
the way,
scrubbing,
as we're talking,
don't matter.
As we're talking, Jim, the Fed, with an announcement here that they are extending the lending facilities that were scheduled to expire at the end of September to December 31. Not a terrible surprise, I guess. There's a ton of facilities that are applicable here, but it is a sign that we're going to have to make this bridge maybe longer than the Fed initially anticipated.
Well, good for them. I mean, when we look at what's going on with Horton, we know that it has been a dramatic positive. The housing industry is 10% of this country, punches above its weight. The Fed is doing its job. If you're in favor of employment, I say that because I think that the country is very split on who, some people actually don't want things to be good because there is an election this year. But Horton's up 3. Against that, I would look at LabCorp. LabCorp being up 4 is not a good sign. It means that they are making a fortune off testing and that the testing is going to continue to be tight. I would like to see LabCorp down because the federal government has decided to get in the testing business itself and not have a laissez-faire attitude with a couple of companies dominating it. And by the way, who gets quick testing? Maybe people from the Mets and Phillies. I mean, quick testing is the province of people who play pro sports and really rich people. And, that is just that's a sham. It's just terrible. How many times are they going to test football players? Like, more? Do you think they wait 10 days? I mean, you think they have 10 days?
No.
Unless they have the bye week.
Jim, the argument, other countries have test and trace, and we have test and wait. That's sort of
test
the argument from a lot of skeptics right now.
It's
Steve Leisman's got more on this Fed lending extension. Steve?
Carl, you provided very, very, very much the context that I was going to provide, which is here's the Federal Reserve settling in for maybe a little bit more of the long haul with these things. We started off this thing thinking, hey, this was going to be something quick, a V-shaped recovery. Now the Fed and I think others are coming to the realization that the economy is going to need assistance for longer. I'll read you what the Fed wrote in its press release. The 3-month extension will facilitate planning by potential facility participants and provide certainty that the facilities will continue to be available to help the economy recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. So all of these 13-3 facilities, the PDCF, the Money Market Fund, Corporate Credit, the Paycheck Protection Program that the Fed buys the loans from, 2 of them were already longer, but all of them will now be available through December 31st, and it allows people to think, hey, it'll be around for a while. It's something we can plan on using if needed, Carl.
All right. Steve, thank you for that. Jim, back to your point, I'm sorry, back to your point on housing. Washington Post had an incredible piece yesterday looking at how the pandemic has exacerbated inequalities. If you own a house, you are doing incredibly well if you want to make money on it. If you rent, you're worried about being homeless in a matter of months. And Horton's backlog, way above expectations. Revenue just blew it out.
Yeah, you know who talks about this more than anyone and talks about it extensively is Greg Hayes from Raytheon. Here the stock is going from up to down, in part because they made their number off of cost cuts. But his company has always been committed to education. His company is really his company's a throwback. They've been focused. They've provided the most scholarships other than the U.S. government. And he talks about inequality and has always addressed the inequality in the call. We now get a lot of calls addressing inequality, and it's almost like they say, hey, you know what? We realize that things are bad. Well, hello? Things have been bad for a long time. And what Greg Hayes uses a term called institutional racism. And what a delight that is to have someone use the real terms about what's going on. His call will be interesting. He always addresses, it's going on now, it's at 8:30, but he always addresses the issue head on. And it is really terrific to hear someone recognize the inequalities in the country and try to do something about it. You know, I don't want to be on a soapbox about this, but it does annoy me that a lot of companies suddenly woke up to this when many companies really had figured it out ahead of time. It's not right,
yeah,
Carl.
Well, we always listen. Greg Hayes always tells it like it is, which is one reason why we love having him on as a guest as well. Guys, a couple of quick things to hit before we get to Reckitt Van Keyser this morning. And we've talked about, we're talking housing right now. Rocket Mortgage filed its S-1. Remember I spoke about this company a few weeks ago, Dan Gilbert Company, Quicken Loans, but Rocket Mortgage is the name. 150 million shares are going to be priced between 20 and 22. This will be the biggest deal of the year. Midpoint, $3.15 billion will be issued. That's a $40 billion-plus market value for Rocket Mortgage.
Wow.
A company, by the way, in the second quarter that did $1.5 billion in income. Just think about that for a second. But that, again, goes to the point on what's going on with housing right now and where rates are.
And is it going to be Jay Farner
and mentioned,
not Dan? Is it going to be Jay Farner?
Yes. That's who. And everybody loves this guy.
Yeah. Jay Farner's unbelievable. Yeah. He called me once. I said, I don't know. Wells may have a better record than they do have the lowest default. That company, the complex that Dan runs, has the lowest default ratio of any lending institution.
Right.
And I think people have to. Now, I was mistakenly, I mistakenly said something about a bank that was better. And they got a hold of me in about, I don't know, they got a hold of me about an hour and they really schooled me. I like to be schooled. Anybody who thinks I'm really got it wrong, just call me. I'll change my mind. I thought that Rocket Mortgage did not have the stringent rules. That was totally wrong. They're a fantastic lender.
Yeah.
Carl, I got to tell you, a lot of companies.
Much about financial.
Yeah, they're algorithmic
financial
before anyone
services,
was algorithmic.
Technology.
Right.
And the growth there. So we're going to keep a close eye on that. It's I think next week it's going to be hitting the public markets. And finally, Jim, you mentioned Kodak briefly. We got to come back to it, of course. This is not the Eastman Kodak we all grew up with. This has now been repurposed, Eastman Kodak, as a company that is gearing up to produce ingredients for generic drugs. Why am I mentioning it? Well, listen, it's $100 million market cap before the open this morning, but it's now about three or four times that. After the administration gives it a $765 million loan, government loan under the Defense Production Act, and this is the first of its kind, the purpose is to help expedite the domestic production of these ingredients because so many of them come from China. But Eastman Kodak, I don't know, this guy George Garfunkel bought 11 million shares at $250 recently.
Yeah, I thought that was good timing.
The sophisticated investors, not that he's unsophisticated, but GSO, you know, the Blackstone, Bennett Goodman's old, and they sold at that level. This is high, high speculation just because they got a $765 million loan. I think we've got Navarro, your pal Navarro, talking about
it,
Jim.
You
want to take a listen?
Yeah, he's been China, death by China drugs.
We're going to fly up this afternoon to the Kodak Corporation in Rochester, New York, visit a facility which was absolutely made to assist America in bringing back its pharmaceutical supply chains and medicines to U.S. soil. What we have today is a $760 million loan fully collateralized, minimal risk to the taxpayer, which is going to allow this country over time to be able to produce a full 25% of the active pharmaceutical ingredients that are necessary to make our generic medicines.
David, let's call this as it is.
Maybe it'll be a seminal moment, Jim, for this company, but please, please be careful out there.
David, this is a Navarro SPAC. Did you know that Navarro had a SPAC?
Yeah.
It's Navarro SPAC.
What else can you call it? Yeah, there you go.
What happened to, we got Mylan there. They do that business. I understand.
I don't know.
I think way too much comes from China. Way too much. But I do think that Eastman, they used to own Sterling Drug. I mean, maybe they remembered Sterling Drug.
Yeah. It's going to create some jobs in Rochester.
All right.
That's good.
We like that.
All right.
The Red Wings, are
guys,
they calling them up
yet? We got to take.
Is the whole Red Wing team called up because of the pandemic?
I don't know.
Manfred Mann.
Remember George Fisher? Thank you. All right, we got to take a quick break. Remember, Record Bank keys are going to be on the other side of this. We'll get an update on Lysol and a lot of other things. Welcome back to Squawk on the Street. As promised, of course, let's bring in Laxman Rossman, the CEO of Reckitt Benckiser, reporting earnings, had their conference call, joined us recently, of course, to talk about Lysol and some efforts they've been making as well in the not-for-profit area. Good to have you after earnings this morning, Laxman. Let me just start right off with your guidance, because you did get some questions on the call about why not more? Why not have, in fact, increased your medium and long-term growth expectations, given where you see the business right now? And you said, well, I'm confident, but at the same time, don't want to get ahead of ourselves. What did you mean when you said don't want to get ahead of ourselves?
Look, we've had a strong start. Lysol, Dettol, exceptional performance, strong hygiene sensitivity. A tailwind with e-commerce, big growth, 60% growth in the first half of the year. We've had good sales because of nesting at home and a couple of tailwinds, with social distancing as well as with pantry unloading. The strategy is taking hold. The culture and purpose and pride of the company are taking hold. We're building the business for the long term. We're going to take some of the upside and reinvest it in the business. But taking up guidance at this point in time for the future in an era of real uncertainty feels a bit premature to me. So I just don't want to get us out ahead of ourselves. We need to do the right thing and build a business for the long term.
A lot of people focused, of course, on, as you point out, the sale of products such as Lysol for hygiene, for combating the virus. You've had partnerships, a new one announced with Delta. But I do wonder, there have been, mounting studies of late, Laxman, that indicate that it's not impossible to catch the virus from a surface, but it is highly unlikely. The primary, if not the really almost sole way that the virus actually is transmitted is through the air. Does that make you think perhaps a lot of this is hygiene theater and at some point it's going to come to an end?
There's no question that aerosol transmission is important, but it doesn't exclude the fact that there is a chance for this to also transmit through the surface. We've seen that in various places, and so we fully think that this is something, just staying hygienic, ensuring that you are practicing hygienic practices is, in fact, quite important.
I'm sorry, David, go ahead.
Sorry, Jim, go ahead. Yeah, no, Jim, go ahead, please.
Well, but I wanted to thank you for sending me some Airborne. Like, send me a couple bottles of Airborne. I wanted to know whether those are the only two bottles. Have you gotten to the point where you can fulfill the demand of your products? Because I know when I see these arrangements you're making with airlines and doing some terrific things to try to keep everybody at peace, basically, I am concerned that you're out of product.
Jim, we are investing heavily in ensuring that our capacity goes up. In fact, we'd announced in February an expansion of £2 billion of an investment in the business. We're taking that investment level up, including investment in additional capacity. If you look at the growth of Lysol in the U.S., it's grown over 70%. I don't think there's a lot of people who can really scale up supply in order to meet a 70% growth in demand overnight. We are, in fact, making exactly those arrangements with a combination of co-packers, as well as investments we are making in our lines in order to meet the demand, including the gummies that you like.
Well, Laxman, that's perfect. That's what we're worried about. I've been trying to figure about the extensions of what you can do in terms of the Lysol brand and working with business. For instance, I have Otis tonight on Mad Money. I would love to see Otis partner with you, because when I get in an elevator, it is one of the places I truly fear. Are there many places that need to partner with you in order to be able to figure out how to make people not nervous about doing something?
Jim, our brands are a trust mark. And some of the partners that that we've already announced have done independent studies. And consumers have told us that a brand like Lysol, a brand like Dettol, is in fact a trust mark for them. We're in conversations with many of these verticals that you mentioned. We've announced a few, we will certainly announce more, but it's clearly exactly what you're saying. Consumers are anxious, they need a trust mark. Lysol and Dettol clearly are the best trust marks out there in the disinfection space.
Laxman, I want to talk about the business itself. You came in with the expectation of increasing margin. You've done that at least over the last year. First half of 2019, 23.6%, 90 basis point improvement to where you are right now, 24.5. I think that includes 69 million pounds in COVID-related costs. Can you keep doing it? Or, where are you in terms of margin improvement when you look at the future and when you look at what the product portfolio is and your expectations are?
The long-term value in this stock is in our ability to deliver growth. What we had talked about in February when I came in and announced our future strategy was our focus was on ensuring that we would be a mid-single digits growth company and delivering high single digits growth in terms of EPS growth. Our focus is on that. And we are, in fact, investing in the business both this year and next year in terms of investments in capacity, investments in muscle, commercial muscle, investments in R&D and innovation in order for us to be able to set the business for long-term growth. So the focus is on that. The margin's up, but the reality is that as you look at it, we are investing in the business, particularly from now next year, in order to set the business up to hit a mid-20s margin in the mid-20s.
All right. And finally, one bit of good news we may be getting here is the expectation that the flu season is going to be less than anticipated, in part because of all the things people are doing in terms of hygiene. How is that going to impact your business?
We are prepared for, a flu season of any intensity. You are correct in saying that if you look at the Southern Hemisphere, the early returns are that, the flu season is going to be milder. We are prepared. Our supply chain did have some issues in the middle of the year last year. We have worked very hard to fix it and have gotten much closer to our customers in terms of how we do this. So we're ready for the flu season, whichever way it turns out.
Well, Laxman, we appreciate you taking some time with us and look forward to seeing you again in the future. Thank you.
Thank you again, Jim. Thank you again, David. Much appreciated.
Shares of 3M at about a two-week low this morning as the company misses by a penny. Revenue was light. Guidance remains withdrawn. We'll talk to Mike Roman about that and the fact that the July, they say, up month to date. We're back in a moment. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
One of my favorite things to do is to ride an all-terrain vehicle. It's a huge blast, and Polaris makes a lot of them. Look at that. Polaris, despite the fact they had some manufacturing issues, it is on fire because we love the great outdoors during a pandemic. It is something we saw from Camping World. We've seen it from the RVs. Now we see it from the ATVs. What business is to be in at this point? It'll be a good interview.
Jim, I'm looking at the conference call at Harley this morning. Has and will continue to benefit from interest sparked in auto activities post-COVID.
Yeah, look, I mean, they've got some other issues, Harley, but I think that you get used to it. You like it. Maybe you go to snowmobiles. People have to find that Brunswick, you can't buy a boat. People are looking for things they can do, which is not, say, go to a big party with a DJ where you're all clustered together watching the Chainsmokers. That's not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. No, don't do that. No. Harley, by the way, also talking about exiting some international markets.
Yeah.
might be why some of the shares are down.
But the great outdoors.
Jim, how about tonight?
I've got Otis Elevator. That's why I mentioned to Lysol, to Laxman. I find elevators to me are frightening right now. And Centene, which is just a gigantic Medicaid play. We've got to find out about testing. Michael Motter's always honest. Tell me that you're afraid when an elevator opens and there's three people on it. Don't you say, hey, I'll take the next one.
Yeah, but not because of the surfaces, Jim. Not because of the surfaces, but
because
of the air.
Well, because people, David, they don't always. I got the new design. Look at this Honeywell. Makes me look like Spider-Man, huh? Is this cool?
Ooh, I like it.
Do you like this?
I like
and it's got the filter. You can get them on Amazon. You change the filter so you don't need Listerine endlessly. This is the game plan. All right?
Look at that.
Honeywell. Okay. Of course.
Jim, we will see you at 6.
I love a good mask.
Mad Money on CNBC.
Stay away from me and let me wear a mask.
Everybody.
We're all good.
We'll see you tonight, Jim. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.